Hello everyone listening online, Stuart and Judy here from Carey Baptist Church in Moulton. A warm welcome to all of you, whether you're local in here in the area in Moulton, Northampton, or whether you're listening from further afield. As we gather to worship God, let's commit this time into his love and care. Let us pray. Father, I pray for each of us as we're listening in our homes, that you would draw near to us, that you would draw alongside us, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that you would meet with us as we gather wherever we are, whatever time we're in, whatever location we're in. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Jody is going to come now and bring the reading from John chapter 4, verses 1 to 26.
It's titled, Jesus Talks with a Samaritan Woman. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was, in fact, not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as he also did also his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "Oh, I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he."
Thank you, Jody. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this story of the encounter of Jesus with the Samaritan woman, and we pray that we would draw lessons from it for our lives today. We pray that your spirit would take these words and would meet and minister to us through them. In Jesus' name, amen. This week we're starting a new series on building community, and the first one is looking at sharing kingdom stories. It fits in with our strategy focus of being a welcoming community inviting people into sharing the adventure of following Jesus. It's good to think again about our church community as we begin to open up again, open up the church building, open up our lives. Politicians at the moment talk a lot about building back better. Whether it's the opposition or the government, they use this term in relation to what we can learn from this past year and how we can build back better. And how will we build back better? What have we learned from this past year that we can take forward into the future? Perhaps we've had some painful learning about our shortcomings, about our weaknesses, about what we're not good at. I know I've found things hard in recent months, and with my phone calls and contacts with other people in the congregation, I know a lot of people are struggling. And sometimes that can rub off on me when I hear other people's pain and it sort of sticks to me a bit and I carry it with me. What will it look like to open our arms to a suffering and grieving world that is a very different place from what it was before COVID? Sermon series on community often focus on the stories in the Acts of the Apostles. And we looked at Acts back in 2019, which seems like a lifetime ago. This time, we're taking a different approach to the theme of community, looking from the outside in, looking from the vantage point of the secular world which we are trying to engage with. We Googled business models for growing and creating community. I'm not proposing that we commercialize ourselves and turn ourselves into a business, because we're not a business, but there are some interesting things we can learn as we engage with a society that is increasingly hesitant about church. The first thing from the Google research is consideration of what motivates people to join a community. When they talk of community, they mean anything where a group of people gather together for a common purpose. Think about a group you have joined, whether online or in person, a club, a support group, an interest group. I can think of some groups that I have joined online. I'm a member of a minister's cell group. I'm a member of a book group, and we meet and discuss things together online. What motivated you to look for the group? What motivated you to join it? And why did you stay? Jodie's going to share something now about something that she's joined recently.
Well, when you asked about what groups we've joined, think about a group that we've joined, I thought about finding myself now part of an online community of Scottish musicians. And that's happened since I started taking fiddle lessons during the lockdown. I mean, I could already play the violin, and for ages I wanted to learn to play some Scottish fiddle tunes and learn some of their techniques. And I tried to teach myself with some books from the library, but it was very dry and it wasn't easy and I didn't really stick with it. I knew what I needed, you know, was like a person to teach me. So there aren't any Scottish music teachers around here. So I put it down as something that we would do when we retired to Scotland. But then during the lockdown, everybody was doing everything online and I had time on my hands. So I decided I'd look for a teacher online. And there, surprisingly, were quite a number offering online tuition. And I had to read all their little profiles and make a choice. And I was drawn to one in particular because her profile, her musical biography, was quite similar to my own. And it felt like we had a lot in common. We had shared history in how we'd learnt to play and in our experience of playing as teenagers in different orchestras. And I felt like that she would understand me and know where I was coming from and that I would be able to relate to her. And I was right, it was a good choice. I've been having lessons for about, well, for just over a year now. And we've been getting on, not just musically together, but getting on as people very well together as well. We play a lot and we talk a lot about the violin and Scottish music. We share in our experience, but she is able then to feed into my experience with her expertise and her knowledge. And she can point me in new directions and introduce me to new ideas and different Scottish folk bands and things. So it's like taking up lessons has opened up lots of opportunities for different, knowing about different types of music, for joining music workshops and for having this new circle of kind of Scottish music friends. When I thought about stopping the lessons, I've realised how valuable the time is together, not just for the playing, but for the community. And I know that without the input of other people, I would probably find it much harder to progress. And probably, even though I enjoy it, it would be harder to stick with it.
Okay, thank you, Judy, for sharing your recent experiences of joining something online. And when we ask ourselves these questions about why we join groups, what we're looking for, why we stay, it helps us to understand what motivates people to seek out a Christian community, what draws them in, why do they stay? It'll take us a few weeks to unpack some of these ideas, and today we are starting with what draws people in. So now, engaging with the reading, we see that Jesus stops by the well in verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. Now, a watering hole in the midday sun is not usually the place to stop. Reminds me of that song, Mad Dogs and Englishmen Go Out in the Midday Sun. The disciples had gone into town to get some food for lunch. And yes, Jesus was tired, so he sat down. But was he up to something else? Was he doing something else? Was he putting himself intentionally in a place where he might encounter other people, especially outcast others like the Samaritan woman he was to meet? Do we put ourselves intentionally in places where we can encounter other people? I think of pre-COVID, I used to once a month go out and pray for people on the streets, pray for their healing and well-being. And that was quite scary to do at first, but once I'd done it a few times, I was given courage to do it and realized that God would bring people across your path. Now, that may not be something that you want to do, but sometimes it's just about hanging out with people. Only about 5% of people go to church in the UK. So what about the other 95%? How do we connect with them? What are our watering holes, our cafes, schools, workplaces, the pub, leisure activities, if we go to the gym or dog walking or whatever, an opportunity to encounter other people, people who are different from and the same as ourselves. Second, we see in Jesus' encounter, what unfolds is an exchange of stories, in which the Samaritan woman shares some of her life, her experience, her faith, her worship tradition, and her history. And Jesus shares his experience and narrative around the same topic and points her to who he is, the one who is the giver of living water, or the giving of the life of God, the one who is the Messiah. Now put yourself in the place of Jesus. Imagine yourself in a cafe or a pub with a woman or a man. Imagine drawing them into a conversation and share with them what you've gone through during lockdown and what has got you through this difficult time. We all have lockdown experiences that are like what other people have gone through and shared. We think of the loss of the Queen recently, sitting by herself, isolated. And even though I'm a Republican, my heart went out to her in her loss. We all have these types of stories to share of loss, of death, of illness, of financial problems, of mental health issues. But we can also point people to Jesus, who knows them more intimately than they know themselves, as Jesus knew all about the Samaritan woman and her life story. He knows all about our friends and our neighbors and knows them and loves them. And we can point other people to him in the midst of their struggles. And in him, they will find the living water that truly satisfies. So in conclusion, as we open up, will we be out there sharing our experience of lockdown and COVID, sharing our kingdom experience, connecting externally with people, drawing them towards us as our stories point to our faith and the hope that we have in Jesus? Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we know Jesus and Jesus knows us, and that he knows our friends and neighbors too, and wants them to know him and to experience a living relationship with him that is like a living waters or a living stream flowing within us in that relationship of love. Help us to invite people to know Jesus for themselves, to point them to the one who truly satisfies, who knows us, who loves us, who accepts us as we are. In his name we pray. Amen. Now Graham and Jane are going to lead us in some prayers of intercession.
Building community. The more we thought about this theme, the more we realised the number of areas that needed prayer, especially at this time, as COVID regulations are relaxed and things can start to go back to a new normality. Prayer is needed for both those building new communities and those re-establishing existing ones, which will probably be very different from 15 months ago. We have chosen some areas for prayer, but we will leave time for you to pray for those communities on your heart and in your thoughts.
Let us pray. We think of societies which are broken. Father, we see the riots in the United States and the intrinsic racial prejudice highlighted by the death of George Floyd. Be with those trying to change the society at the roots and not just deal with the symptoms.
We bring to you those men and women in abusive relationships. Help them be aware of the abuse and give them the courage and means to escape their relationships. Locally, we thank you for the work of Eve. We pray that their funding should be secure and that their staff and volunteers be aware of your leading and strength when dealing with the ladies.
So much division and hurt is stirred up by the misuse of social media. We ask you, Father God, to make sure we are mindful of the effect on others and what we say and what we write. Help us to discern the truth in what we read on the internet.
We think of those moving back into established communities, at work, in school, within family and friendship groups. Things will be very different, and for many, it may be difficult to readjust. Be with us all as we return to a more social way of life, rejoining groups and activities and meeting more people face to face.
We bring to you our fellowship at Carey. Give the leaders of the brigades and Todlin wisdom in establishing a safe but meaningful way of meeting. We thank you for the work of the minister and deacons. Be with them as they decide on the next steps.
Several members within our fellowship have been shielding or self-isolating. When they feel that the time is right for them to pick up their normal activities and return to the services in the church building, give them your peace.
And now, Father, in this time of quiet, we bring to you our individual prayers for the communities which you have laid upon our hearts.
Father, we thank you that we can bring our prayers to you in the name of Christ our Saviour.
Amen.
Thank you, Graham and Jane, for your prayers, and I'll close now with a blessing. Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father. Set out then on a new life with Christ. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Thank you for joining with us online, and see you next week. Go well and God bless.